Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And this week we're going to be talking about a familiar subject as we're a little bit over a quarter of the way through the NFL season because the ratings are surprisingly to some up. And then we're going to take a look at a new shoe startup that's coming out of Silicon Valley that just got a relatively impressive valuation over this past week. But before we get into any of that, I want to just say as a reminder, if you have any episode suggestions or questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com because we always appreciate any listener feedback whatsoever. And now we're going to get right into it because the National Football League's TV ratings are up for the first time since 2015. So this is through the first 5 weeks of the season, which is not including this past weekend. So the first 5 weeks, just over a quarter of the way through the season, the average TV audience for NFL games is up 3% to 15.6 million. And this is according to Nielsen data. So this is obviously a good sign for the NFL and a testament to something I've talked about a lot is the fact that live sports really remain the king of traditional linear television. Now, I want to get into a little bit more of the specifics because obviously it sounds great that the NFL ratings are up, but it's not that simple. It's not like, oh, it's back to big time numbers like it was before, but it's a good sign in general, and it's a little bit more complex than it just seems. It's up 3%. So for Sunday afternoon broadcasts on CBS, those games through the first 5 weeks were up 7%. Yet Fox's were down 2%. So in only through 5 weeks, it can be a little variable compared to what the games are themselves. If they're bad games, people might turn them off, bad matchups, all that kind of stuff. And then you had on the big games, the primetime games, Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football were up. And they were the only two broadcast TV ratings to be up in prime time so far from this broadcast TV season, which technically started on September 24th. And you had Sunday Night Football hit 19.6 million viewers so far, which is up just a little bit from last season. But interestingly enough, and this is once again a bad trend for ESPN, their Monday Night Football ratings are down. And this has been affected because Major League Baseball postseason's been running up against some of their games. And then you had some blowouts, so there's nothing they can really do there. And something might be talked about a little less is they're experimenting with a new broadcast team. The Monday Night Football crews used to be Mike John Gruden for I think it's about 5 years he was on the broadcast, maybe even more, but he's now the coach of the Raiders, and they're experimenting with this weird three-man broadcast where they have two people up in the booth, and then there's a guy down on the sideline, Booger McFarlane, and it's a weird experiment, and it's weird to try to experiment with the thing ESPN spends the most amount of money on, we're gonna experiment during the season, just try it out. I don't necessarily recommend that because the three-man team doesn't often sound as good, especially even when they're in the booth together, and now that they're not sitting next to each other, there's kind of these weird interjection points, but I don't want to talk about that anymore. So the ratings are up for some of the broadcasters and some of the windows, down in some of them, but so far in September, the top 15 programs throughout September, the most watched programs, were all NFL games, which has been true a lot over the past couple of years. And you had Sunday Night Football and Thursday Night Football are the top two rated shows on TV so far this year. And some people have pointed to young stars, high scoring offenses. And then there are some stats I found from a Wall Street Journal article that were pretty impressive for in terms of the product in the field. And this is something the NFL can definitely point to and hope for to continue going forward, that teams are averaging 24 points a game through week five. Those are the most updated numbers. And that's the most in NFL history. The average margin of victory is about 10 points, which is smaller than any point since 1932. And then eight games have already gone into overtime, which is tying. And so this was some went into overtime this past weekend. And this was tying the most during this point of the season since overtime was put in place in 1974. So they've had a lot of things going for them in terms of the product on the field. And then you'll also hear some people talking about that the controversy surrounding the national anthem has slowly faded. This could be true. I haven't heard as much talk about it, even though I kind of expected it to happen a little bit more since you had the big Nike Colin Kaepernick ad come out at the beginning of the season. But it seems like it's just less of a talking point than it has been, which is great for the NFL. And then one of the stats that helps support that figure is that people over 50 who would be, in general, the demographics that, according to a lot of these polls, are the people more upset about the national anthem controversy, they're watching more NFL games than ever, according to the same Nielsen data. So that's, once again, a good sign for the NFL. And then you also have the idea that the NFL is finally trying to pump out more of their content on non-traditional platforms, and the Thursday Night Football games have done well so far this season. So according to an NFL spokesman, through week four, digital consumption was up 65% on average. So, and then the first two games specifically on Thursday night, available on Amazon, NFL Digital, Fox Digital platforms, and Yahoo Sports, were up 57% with an average audience of 800,000 or so. So that's great for the NFL that they're finally realizing, hey, ratings are slumping. We have to try to put our product out in some more unique ways. And as I've mentioned before, Amazon is now on the first year. There's a two-year deal for 11 Thursday Night Football games that they broadcast Fox's coverage. And they're also putting that out for free on their Prime platform and kind of experimenting with some new things on there. And then this is really something you're going to see going forward as more of these big tech companies, since Amazon beat out the likes of Facebook to get these Thursday Night Football games, you're going to see more of these tech companies try to get into live sports, as we can see that live sports, although the ratings are down, it's still something that advertisers are going to want to be a part of for as long as live sports are happening. Advertisers are going to want to be there because it's really the only thing that anyone needs to watch live at this point most often. But with that said, the ratings are still down 16% from their highs in 2015. So we went from all-time high ratings just 3 years ago to they're still down 16% from that point. So it's not all great news, but they're up a little bit from being down big again last season. So this is a good sign for the TV partners. ESPN still has to worry a little bit about their Monday Night Football package, as those ratings have really failed to gain much traction, and those ratings were down a lot last season. They blame some of the matchups, but who knows? You do have the likes of Microsoft and the big NFL marketing partners, Pizza Hut, Anheuser-Busch. They're probably just so excited to have anything positive to hear in terms of viewership and ratings. And I could talk about this for way longer, but I want to transition into a Silicon Valley startup that just hit unicorn status, which is a privately held company that is valued at over $1 billion or more. And it's not what you'd think of as a normal traditional Silicon Valley startup, because they're not a tech company whatsoever, even though they are very popular with a lot of the tech employees in the valley, and it's slowly grown within a relatively short period of time, and that is Allbirds. I don't know if any listeners have ever heard of it. They are a shoe company. They sell relatively simplistic looking shoes, and just last week they had another round of funding that valued the company at $1.4 million, and this is according to the Wall Street Journal. Some of these investors include T. Rowe Price Investment Management and Fidelity. So some big names there investing in this relatively small upstart shoe company. And the valuation reportedly tripled the company's value at this point last year. As I said, the shoes have become pretty popular in the Valley where they started, huge with venture capitalists and a lot of the tech employees. But they're slowly growing pretty much through social media marketing and kind of word of mouth advertising. I see them. We live in Chicago, or Zax is based in Chicago, so I live in Chicago. I see a lot of people wearing them. And for them being not logo heavy, they only have one little tiny, their little tiny logo on the top of the tongue of the shoe. Everything else is just one color wool and then a simple sole. So they do, you would think they wouldn't stand out without having a logo, but then when you realize in terms of sneakers, every sneaker has a logo, so then them not having any visible logo really almost helps them stand out more, which is relatively clever. And then I want to talk a little bit about the shoes themselves, because I do not own a pair. I have not even tried on a pair, and that is because they only have two stores at the moment. So that's a little interesting. They have a store in San Francisco and a store in New York, and they had a pop-up shop that has closed, and it was in Toronto. But they've also done some partnerships with Nordstrom's and Outdoor Voices, which is actually an up-and-coming Lululemon competitor that sells that, yeah, that high price point yoga wear and athleisure wear. And so most of the shoes are sold at a $95 price point, made out of pretty much just two materials, and that is wool, merino wool, high quality wool. You'll hear that merino wool used a lot, and then wood. And it's, the laces are made out of recycled plastic bottles. They're talking, their sales pitch is relatively, we're an eco-friendly, sustainable company. They use castor bean oil. They dip their shoes in that. And they say that compared to traditional cotton materials, that their processes use about 95% less water. So going forward, this is something you'll hear probably a lot more clothing companies, especially on that higher end side, talk about how they are more sustainably made to attract that higher end customer who, if they're going to buy something and they're not necessarily really worried about the price point, that why not buy something that they see as helping the environment rather than hurting it? And what's crazy is that they're already valued at now $1.4 billion. They didn't sell their first shoe, which was the Wool Runner, which is a shoe they still sell. It's pretty much their main shoe. That wasn't released until March 2016, so just over 2.5 years, and now all of a sudden this little tiny shoe company is valued at over $1.4 billion. And they were founded in 2015 by a former New Zealand professional soccer player, Tim Brown, and Joey Zweilinger. I might be butchering that name, so sorry, Joey. And he is a biotech engineer and what he refers to himself as a renewable materials expert. And over the last 2 years, they have reportedly sold $200 million worth of shoes. So it's still pretty small, and by pretty small, I mean very small compared to other sports style tennis shoes competitors. Just last quarter, Under Armour, which is still pretty small compared to some of the real big players, posted revenues of just about $1.2 billion. Nike alone sold $2.5 billion in North American footwear last quarter. So obviously, this company is still much smaller than these big, big companies, but they've only been around for just over 2.5 years. And this valuation is definitely going to make some people think that you could see an IPO from Allbirds in the next couple of years. I don't know. It seems with only two stores, $200 million in sales, I don't really know how you could go public that soon. And you also do have one of the co-founders saying that, and this is from a Wall Street Journal article, that an initial public offering is not desirable for a variety of reasons, but that's at this moment. So you don't really know at this point. What is interesting for a startup is both of the founders have said they have been profitable since day one. So that's a good sign for any company. So going forward, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But as I've touched on a little bit, this sustainability and eco-friendly shoe making and materials is definitely something you're going to hear a lot more going forward. You had Adidas CEO Kasper Rorsted. He was on CNBC last week, at the end of the week, starting kind of the media tour, because Adidas posts its quarterly revenues in early November, and he he was talking about a lot of things. Obviously, Kanye West was brought up a lot because of the stuff that's going on with him and President Donald Trump. But on top of that, he talked specifically about how their sustainability push and their recycled material shoes are doing really well. He talked about 3D printing. So going forward, you'll definitely hear more companies, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, all of these companies talk more about how they're going to get into sustainability. Adidas sells a shoe that is made completely from recycled ocean plastic, which, I mean, if you're going to buy a shoe, why not have it be recycled plastic? So I, as I've said now way too many times, this is going to be something that these companies that are selling high-priced shoes now want to stand out as their pitch compared to competitors is, hey, you're going to spend $125 on a pair of shoes. Why not have it be a pair of shoes that you can see helping the environment, where it's that marketing of you're not helping the environment. You're really buying a pair of shoes that makes you feel good for whatever reason, or you want to buy a new pair of running shoes. So why not do the easiest thing to help the environment by buying shoes that are made from recycled ocean plastic? But that does it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about the NBA. So we're going to be talking about a lot of these footwear companies again, because the NBA is the biggest footwear market, the marketplace. Every game is just basketball shoes galore. Every game, like all the NBA players coming into the game, are always wearing the newest or the most retro shoes that are going for hundreds and hundreds of dollars on secondary websites, because the NBA season kicks off actually this week on Tuesday, which is about 2 weeks earlier than they normally start, because the NBA, in their push to kind of address players' health, starts their season 2 weeks early to not have as many back-to-backs. So we'll get into some of that stuff next week. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.